Okay, this is, and I have to, like, I'm gonna read all of the clit quotes because those are my favorite. The clitoris is the female sex organ, and the fact that we aren't told that when we were very small children is devastating. We grow up with no information about the pleasure center of our body.
True.
True. Love it. I remember going to health class. I don't remember anyone focusing on the clit at all.
That you'll
They
never
do
hear the
the
word.
labia minor and major, right? They talk about the lips, they talk about the G spot.
Well, of course, when I grew up, we didn't have that.
You had nothing. I can't imagine that. That
Well,
must
we
have
didn't
been.
have a G spot, that's for damn sure.
Now, do
And
you
it's
believe in the G spot?
no, it's not a spot.
It's the back of the clit in my mind.
Well, that's closer. You're closer to the truth, but it's the sponge that surrounds the urinary tract. And the women in the feminist collective out in LA called it the urethral sponge, and it is erectile tissue. And of course, that's the next drawing I have to do. I did one, but I didn't like the way it turned out. And I am fussy. I am a double Virgo. Everything has to be perfect.
Oh, I know. I dated a Virgo. I know
Well,
exactly.
we're a bit of a pain in the neck, but I'll tell you, I'm gonna, art is in the detail. If you get sloppy about not paying attention to the details, everything will, it won't be as good as it could be. So anyway, they named it, and our urinary tract is short, inch and a half, something like that. It varies. But this little spongy material around it is erectile tissue. Like when you saw me draw the internal clitoris, same thing as the little bulbs and the little area down below. And I didn't go into the urethral sponge because I have to turn it around and give you a side view, and I couldn't do that because I was building the drawing from the front up.
From up, yeah, and I'm gonna put the link into this podcast to the video because it's on YouTube. It's
Oh, great,
amazing.
great.
Every man and every woman should watch it.
Yes.
And you just see, Betty sketching, now that I know it was you drawing it, and narrating each structure of a woman's pussy, and there are more than you think. Because even I was like, oh yeah, all right, and you pick up something.
Yes. Now, so where was I? Oh, so the sponge, they have now, because I mean, I actually did a dissection on a cadaver in
Really?
California one time, but you know what? My friends who were with me go, oh, look at this, oh, look at that. One, he was an anatomist, and the woman that was working with us, she'd been, doing this for 20 years, and she said, we've never ever dissected the female sex organ. And I said,
Oh my
well, there's
God.
a statement right there. In the 20 years she's been doing this, they never check. They've been all over the dick and the balls and all that stuff. And they know all about our fallopian tubes and the uterus
And our, yeah, I was
and
gonna
the
say our.
baby-making
Yeah, I was gonna say the
mechanism.
birth mechanism.
But the clit and the shaft and the glands and the all, yeah, anyway. To me, it just looked like a mass of green pickled stuff. I don't get details on anything like that. And I was told that the reason Michelangelo, I mean, Da Vinci was so good at what he did is that he was cutting up a recently live body, so you had the real thing.
So it wasn't all like
You got
formaldehyde
the
out.
colors. You got the colors of the inside of the body, which is what a surgeon would see. So the green formaldehyde, ugh, it was creepy. But here's the point is, what was the point?
About the sponge.
Oh, so here's the sponge. And so they called it the urethral sponge, which I'm perfectly happy with. I think that's a great name. It's maybe a little difficult to say. The spongy material that surrounds the urinary tract, however you want to deal with that. There are little bitty prostate-like glands inside of it. And we do have the little openings on either side of the pee hole, okay? And the pee hole itself, so if you've watched a woman who is an
Squirter.
ejaculator, a squirter, you'll see it goes bloop. Now sometimes it goes psh, like a spray, sometimes it goes bloop, like a bloop.
Mine never spray, just like
Bloop.
bloops out, like bloop.
Okay, so if you stop and think about, if you could watch a whole bunch of guys ejaculate, some of them go blubber, and some of them go
Some
psh.
of them hit the bed post
Yeah, man,
behind
it goes across the
it.
room. So that is related to the strength of the pelvic floor muscle. Some people, when they come, it's just like, a letting go, and other people go,
And they clench.
and boom. So they're not doing it; the muscles are doing that. An orgasm is based on the involuntary nervous system. You can't lay down and say, okay,
I'm gonna do it right now.
okay, I'm gonna have my orgasm with, right now. It's like saying right now, I'm gonna sneeze.
Yeah,
Nope.
you can't. It comes to you. And I think that because your orgasms change and how long it takes to achieve an orgasm changes, and it's by a lot of things, even just like the stress in your life.
So you can tickle your clitoris, you can tickle your nose until you sneeze, or you can tickle your clitoris until you come, but you cannot mentally control that.
Yes.
It's the body doing it. So the body has the orgasm. The mind might facilitate it with the, you know, dirty fantasy, but that your body is what's going to come. So it's either incorporate your mind into the action or shut it off. Get it out of the way. Either way, it will work. But everyone said, the mind is the most important sex organ. Hello, you can rub my mind all you want.
I can't tell you, I was interviewing someone and I said, what is, you know, I always ask at the interview, I'll say, you know, what sex toy would be fine on your night table, you know, for women to know that other women use it. And I said something like, what is your best sex toy? And she's like, my mind. And I thought, oh, how boring.
Well, if people want to think off, I guess they're entitled. But not to take a hold of your body.
Why not? Why not?
It's there. It's there.
The clitoris is a tiny little button with millions of nerve endings. You can't direct it and you can't focus it.
You just gotta love it.
Embrace your clit, ladies. The clitoris is ignored. Our mothers weren't told and their mothers' mothers weren't told.
Well, I think one time I said this. I actually got to say this on a show that was aired on television, that the problem with how we grow up is that the mother is going to explain sex to the child, and she says, little Billy has a penis, and little Mary has a vagina. And when little Billy puts his penis inside little Mary's vagina, that's how babies are made. And I'm going, no, wrong information.
Mm-hmm.
Little Billy has a penis, little Mary has a clitoris. And when they touch them just a certain way, it feels really,
really good.
That's what we need to tell our kids. We're a long way off.
We're a long way off from that.
Yeah.
I love that.
So now we call our sex organ a vagina, i.e. the vagina monologues.
It's not a vagina. I saw that you had some beef with her on the vagina monologue.
Well, I wrote a critique. And you know this. You'll find this out. You cannot criticize. A woman cannot criticize another woman.
No, because then it's like catfight, and they get all yeah.
Yeah, her corporate henchwoman called me, oh, that's the queen bee syndrome, the old cunt.
She called you a queen bee?
I'm a queen bee. You don't hang around this long with a hive as big as I've got, teaching as many people as I've taught.
You did your first drawing of the clitoris and everything at a NOW convention. I read that.
Thank you. I mean, I am the queen bee. Fuck off.
Stand up and recognize right now, lady.
The queen bee syndrome. Ugh, women. I got to tell you, I've worked most of my adult life with women, and it is love-hate.
It is because, you know, you just... There's no pro-sex women. Like, I feel like the feminists or the queer women, there's always this divide and this weird thing. And then they always label you like the freak. Oh, well, you're just hypersexual, and that's why you're focused on all this.
Oh, God.
You know, you're just crazy.
Do you really feel that in your generation?
A little bit, because here's the thing. I think, you know, our moms were the ones in the 80s with the big shoulder pads and the short hair trying to be a man. You know, and I think a little bit, and then that kind of rubbed off, and then in the 90s, it was like bad economy, and like women, I think, have been trying to find a place. I think the value, or what I hope to kind of impress upon people is I can bring my sexuality, my femininity, and my independence, and my competitive nature, all of it in one. You know, like, I am a woman, I am sexual, and I am thoughtful.
And you also want to be effective and powerful.
And I am powerful. You know what I mean? And I feel like I have power over everything that comes into my life and comes into my realm. You know, I feel very powerful, but I see a lot of women to be powerful think that means you can't be sexual, because being sexual means you're being stupid and silly and
frivolous.
Yes, frivolous. That's what it is. They think you're being frivolous.
Word.
And it's like, you need to be sexual and you need intimacy and you need that in your life. Why do I have to, again, the sacrifice. Why do I have to give up to compete? Why can't I embrace and compete? Because the men have no problem with me. Men love me.
And they will continue to love you, darling.
It's the women that look at you and go, oh, well.
We are so hard on each other. We're as hard as we are on ourselves in terms of criticism.
Worse with each other.
On each other.
I wrote this article about prostitution because I just moved into this building and there's this woman who used to be a porn star. I don't care if she was still a porn star, but everyone's like, oh, she wasn't just a porn star. She was a prostitute, Carlin. We're at this like, you know, little like neighbor get together and like she was a prostitute. And I thought, oh, well, how do you know she's a prostitute? Maybe she just dated a lot. Maybe she just liked sex. Like, how do you know she was a prostitute and why is that so horrible?
We're all prostitutes. If you're a woman, you're a
You're a
prostitute.
prostitute. But why are women doing the whole hooker label? It wasn't the guys at the party. It was the chicks at the party.
That we're putting her down. Honey, that's how we control each other. It is mother, it's the authoritarian mother figure who will point their finger and tell you what is right and what is wrong. And when we get rid of mother, then we've got our girlfriends or the boss at the office or whoever's ahead of us, the next mother figure who will be telling you how to live your life and how to do it better.
So how have you set yourself free from that? Because when I just walk through your apartment and I look at, you know, did my research and I meet you, you are free from all of that. Now, you were growing up in the whole Now generation and the Gloria Steinem generation, and there was a lot of weird stuff going on. You weren't, I wouldn't describe you as someone that was embraced by their culture. You know, you said it took 10 years to have your book published. You're kind of like fighting this uphill battle, but how do you, in your mind, keep it straight? How do you keep yourself free from the criticism and the pressure? And I have to conform and I have to be certain things.
Well, I wish I had a simple answer for that, and don't think I haven't been affected by it, because I have. And you either can get mad and fight back, or you can give in and go along with with the status quo. So I think what it is for me is that my beginning schooling was fine art. I went to art school for 5 years. I came to New York to go to art school. When I lived in Wichita, I was doing commercial art. And my dream was to come to New York. I didn't even know about fine art. The only fine art in Wichita in the 40s was the crucifixion painted on fucking eggshells. I mean, Stations of the Cross. Oh, please. And already, because I had a fanatic religious Aunt Grace, I was finished with religion before I even got started. And then, I mean, and then, of course, there were times when things got bad and I'd fall to my knees and I'd pray to God to bail my ass out, especially when I thought I was pregnant.
That's always when you have that EPT test and you're like, not blue, God, I promise.
Yeah,
I
please
will not do
God.
this
Really, I'll
anymore.
stop swearing.
I'll stop swearing and I really won't fuck
I
people
won't have
anymore.
sex again until I'm married. Please,
Yeah,
God.
please, please.
So it's exactly that. So anyway, the whole idea of being an artist is that you find your own voice, you be true to yourself, you want your own image, you seek your inner image to project. You don't want to imitate, you don't want to copy, you don't want to be
Yeah,
like
you want to be
everybody.
original. Yeah.
Originality is the key word, and it is like major that we're all looking. All of the artists are looking for the new way, the new thing to see, the new this. Now, of course, I think with minimalism and some of the modern art, it became like a philosophical pursuit, and they left out images altogether. That was boring. For me, it was totally
Yeah,
boring.
no, I had a friend who just bought this big red square and it was very expensive and it's hanging on his
Yeah,
wall and I
it's a
went, yeah.
Rothko probably.
Yeah, and the color is beautiful. Yeah.
Please, for $500,000, I don't think so.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I would buy it for like $100.
Yeah.
That
Or
would be.
you stretch a canvas and paint your own red square. But anyway, so when I was going through art school, I was in the middle or at the beginning or in abstract expressionism. And I wanted to draw the nude. I wanted to master the nude. I mean, I already knew that it was the body I was interested in. And there were out of, this was at the National Academy. We drew from models. First, you drew from a cast. Then you advance to the model, the live model. And I remember the first live model in the classroom. I would look up at her and then I would glance away because I thought it was too bold to just stare at her and draw her. Everybody was looking at her straight away. And I thought, I'm just going to glance because that's in, I had to move through all of that. I mean, I'm from Wichita, for
From the
God's sakes.
shame and from,
Yeah,
yeah.
you shouldn't stare at a naked person. So then it took about two more classes, and I was, getting down and looking at every detail I could find to draw. And I loved the nude. It was just so, there were about four or five of us in art school that were dedicated to the nude. And everyone else was doing abstract. So already, even in art school, I'm going against the grain. I am not following the fashion. Follow the fashion and die a natural death. No, follow the fashion and die an unnatural death. Follow the fashion and never have a creative moment in your life. Be fashionable and eat shit and die.
And that was another quote of yours that I loved, because you talked about Sex and the City. And women always talk about that series and say it was a feminist series and it makes my blood boil. And this is what you said. You said, the characters in Sex and the City were all scrambling for a man. I don't call that a good message for women. Couldn't just one of them say, look, I prefer to masturbate than go out with another one of these jerks? That's the whole thing. It's, what was that about? It was fashion, right? We wanted to be like these women and have what they have and see what they see and the look and the feel and go to the restaurants and have the clothes. And I see so many young women now. Fashion is huge now. It's all about designer. It's all about spending all this money on this stuff. I think that's really important, what you just said.
Thank you.
Because I think as a generation, we've lost sight of that.
We've lost sight of our individuality. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's our problem. And that's why we can have the media we have and the administration we have.
Yes, it all fits together. We're like clones. We're like little automatons. We're like following the leader. We follow the leader. We're the lemmings. You can walk over the edge of the cliff and we're right with you, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one's saying anything. Like New Orleans happens. No one says it. And this morning, like, I'm in the gym. Before I come here, I'm like, let me just get a quick half hour. And I see how there's this flood in Texas. National Guard's already there. And they're going home to home with boats to pick up people. I'm like, it's not interesting how in New Orleans it took how long before that happened?
It's still devastated.
It's still devastated. We're still not there. And already in Texas, I'm like, is it a white-black issue? Is it a have-not issue?
I think most of the people that are most devastated are black. Absolutely.
And and it was so obvious, and it struck me, like, you know, right between the eyes, that you were like, oh, my God. And no one's saying anything.
Well, what can you... So here's the thing. How do I handle... This is one of my big gripes with, you know, how do you get active... So I look back over my life, particularly since I've been teaching sex, and I am, through sex, a constant political activist. If I can get another woman to have an orgasm and to wake up, the chances are very good everything else will fall into place. But if that part of your body, if you can't access that part of your body, who cares who's running the country? Who cares who's dying? Who cares if the planet ends? Life isn't worth anything anyway. There's without sexual pleasure. Now, I haven't jerked off for 2 weeks because I've been so busy. Just let you know that, no, that's not true.
We all have dry spells.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to, I don't want people to think that, you know, that orgasm and sex is the total answer to everything. But if you can't, if you can't access that part of your being, if you've never been able to access that part of your being, you have never really accessed your consciousness, your creative consciousness. You've got a big piece of you missing. That's why religious people are so crazy. They've got this big piece missing.
And they try to fill the void with religiosity and, you know.
Evil. They're mad. They're pissed off. God damn, they're mad. And I'm not having any fun. I'm going to see to it that you're not having any either.
Fun.
Now, I understand that. You know, I can get into that headspace. I mean, I could do that with old age. Listen, you're a young body. You think you can go out and dance every night? To hell with it. You're going to stay home and do your homework.
And don't you see a lot of that among women? I think it's so nice when you, like, when I look at a young 15-year-old girl, I have to admit, I see a piece of myself in her. I smile. Now, she has the things, you know, like, that time for me is over. You know, where I look good no matter what, and I'm always thin and trim, and my skin looks great, and my teeth are really white, and, you know, you have that idealism, and you have opportunity and choice, and you can just choose, and your life is unfolding. But I think you should, like, cherish that and celebrate it in someone else. And I think we don't do that. We want to hold on, you know, and say, well, I don't have it, so you can't have it either.
Love it while you got it, because it ain't going to be there forever. And
yeah.
I think I do this all the time. I think... Honey, if you think it's bad now, wait in 10 more years. You'll be lucky
I'll see
if
you
you're
60.
You'll be lucky if you're not sitting in a fucking wheelchair, you know, like count your blessings.
Yeah.
I mean, I think back when I turned 40, oh my God, that was the oldest you could ever be. And
yeah, 40 is, yeah.
And I went, no, this is the best time of my life. I've never had a better time. And each decade, I pick something new for each decade that I'm going to, oh,
I love
from my
that.
80s.
Oh, yeah, let's get to the 80s.
Okay.
Good stuff.
If I don't lose my voice. Probably smoking too much cannabis. From my 80s, I've decided it's going to be show business.
What does that mean, show business?
I don't know. It's a general category, because when I make a category, I keep it general. So show business, what would that mean? Well, I've started to lecture more. I've started to travel a little more. I am producing more DVDs. Maybe I want an internet television show.
Well, I have to admit that what draws me to the internet, and the reason why I'm a big tech geek, is there's no FCC and there's no government regulation.
No censorship.
And I can have a podcast and put this on iTunes and have people globally download it. Why would I want a show on a network television where they're going to tell me what not to say, cut it all up, edit it? You know, you want to get your message out. I love the web. And now with YouTube, like when I saw your video of you drawing your internal clitoris. I mean, how powerful is that?
Yeah.
I could so see, you know, they have video podcasts. You could do a weekly video podcast. I think it's, yes.
Yes.
I will so help you do that.
You're on board.
I'm on board.
Put her there, girl.
We just shook hands.
Think we're in business.
Well, because, you know, the next piece of technology that's coming out, or it's already out, is the iTV. This is a little device from Apple that basically, just think of it this way. You can have your television, and you can watch video from the web on the television. And they just did this huge deal.
Say that all over again.
You have this little box, you plug it into your television, and you can watch web video on your television screen. So here's an example. They just did a deal with YouTube. So basically, instead of me coming to my, you're at my house for a dinner party or a cocktail party, instead of us going into the, you know, office and pulling up, I can say, oh, here's my new flat screen. Let's watch your internal clitoris right here. Click. You're in the main entertainment center of the home there without having to spend millions of dollars on production, millions of dollars on distribution, sucking up to some network executive, pitching. You know, think of the power of that. You're in the home. You're there.
Directly.
So for me, I produced one DVD on BDSM that was like my first piece. And I have an adult distributor and they're like, oh, we want you to do more DVDs. And I thought, you know, DVDs take a long time. And
it takes me forever to produce one of these things.
Because you got to do the cover art and then you got to do all this editing and then you got to write music. And, and I thought, you know what I want to do is I want to buy the new high-def camera that's the size of my phone.
You got one?
I don't have it with me, but I'll show you. That goes right to a memory stick. And it's $500, and then I plug it into my laptop, and then I edit it up quick, and then I link it into my site, and everyone's looking at it. Why would I?
Direct.
Exactly. And I can say and do whatever I want, and I don't need an adult company saying, you know what, we don't like your BDSM piece because the woman isn't tied up, the man is. And we've never seen a man's ass red on camera, and when she's, you know, hitting him with the riding crop, for some reason, it's offensive to us. I'm like, really? Because I can pull up how many DVDs from that you're distributing right now with a woman having all kinds of things done to her.
That's different, okay. Darling. It's a woman.
Exactly. It's offensive.
It's offensive when it's a man.
You know, when I got this, I almost wanted to get like the rejection letter from each distributor and why, and I could frame them. Because then I put a couple of clips that were okay for YouTube up. And I have, like, male groupies emailing me saying, please, please, can I have some more of your video? And I'm like, well, you can purchase the DVD directly off the web. You know, I had to go directly to the web and not retail because it's so objectionable to have a male slave who's smiling and has an erection while he's getting his ass hit with a rotting crop. Too much.
I would say it's just the right amount.
I know. Women see it and they go, yeah, that's for me, right?
Yeah.
That speaks to me, that media.
Yeah, yeah. So all right, so wait a minute. So here's how you got to. I just say show business because I don't know exactly how to work that out yet, but I'm working on it. And I have been saying this. I want to make little short 15, 20 minute.
It's web. Little things. Video that you can have on your phone or your iPod or your computer.
And in these, and I already have like a series of them half in the works. Like I've got one where a couple of summers ago I was with my girlfriend and she was sculpting and I was drawing. And I was drawing my sex fantasies. Well, now, some of these, you know, border on kitty porn, but I'm the kitty. I'm the five-year-old Betty.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's in control. They never think of that. No, never. So I'm drawing all my fantasies and masturbating way beyond the point of going blind. and I'm having a ball. We did this for a whole month. I did other drawings, but I did a lot of sex fantasies, and it was such a turn on. And she had her camera there, and she just had a stationary camera, and I was sitting in the little yoga room, and I was telling her how I was having to get back into my body. And the process that I needed to do was get back down on the floor. I can't do yoga because I've been away from it too long, mm-hmm. but I can stretch. And we were talking. And then I started talking about drawing my porn and stuff. And I looked at her and she's not interacting with me on camera. She's
off camera.
Off camera. I'm talking to her in the mirror. And I didn't have an image of what was happening. It was just a little recording thing. So I said, you want me to show you? And she said, so we go in the other room and I set up my little easel and she films my, you know, she goes in. And,
oh, I think that's so good.
And it's about, what is it? It's, I think, 30 minutes and it's, the title of it is Granny Porn.
Love it. Do you know that would go like wildfire on the web? I'm telling you, people would be like, oh.